Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
Rain and 50 degrees today. The perfect climate for our next guest. He loves it. And he's going to be punchline tonight and tomorrow. Welcome back, Roy Wood Jr.
Yeah.
If the punchline had a retractable roof, I would ask them to open it for tonight's
right,
show.
Right, yeah. We were talking about this, and you said categorically, like, the oppressive heat don't like, and that you will never do yard work in your life ever.
Ever.
It's not an entitlement thing. It's just I grew up in Alabama. That's what everyone needs to understand.
You paid your dues.
Alabama heat.
Yeah.
Only child.
Oh.
So who you think did all the yard work?
Oh, no.
Who you think did all the gutter cleaning?
Yeah.
Who you think raked the leaves? I painted the house at 11.
It's not right. It's not right.
So I'm not. If it's outdoors, whatever I have to pay to get someone else. I've been that kid dragging the lawnmower down the sidewalk, going from door to door, $10 front yard, $15 front and back. And just heat stroke, heat exhaustion. I won't do it.
And people try to put a spin on it. Like, well, it's this kind of heat or that kind of heat. Southern heat, like that kind of heat, that will kill you.
My girlfriend asked me one time, this was like 2-3 years ago. She said, do you mind if can you go in the yard and then sprinkle it there? I said, I can call somebody. Why can't you do it as a man? Yeah, my job as a man is to get it done. Don't you concern yourself with how and who gets it done.
Right.
We're not together anymore.
Ex-girlfriend.
She didn't like
but that. You never had a heat stroke.
Yeah.
Roy, the last time we had you here, I think I was mostly familiar with you because of your contributions on The Daily Show, which are great. But I've really grown to like you a lot with your comedic chops, and specifically the show This Is Not Happening on Comedy Central.
Oh, that's a different
it's
beast,
great.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. It's really well done, and it exposes so many comedians to new audiences, and the way that you guys vibe with one another, it seems cool. Are they fun to shoot?
Yeah, it's a blast. For the people who haven't seen it, and this is true. Of anything you can watch on television or streaming, it is the only storytelling style comedy show where you have comedians telling true stories from their lives. So these are 8-9 minute runs. This isn't the 3-4 minutes that you do on Jimmy Fallon. This is like real deep, deep stuff.
And weird.
Yeah.
Thought-provoking. Horrifying.
Not always hilarious,
no,
by the way.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Like, some of them are.
I told a story most recently this season about the time that someone offered to pay me in cocaine.
Right.
After a comedy show. we had a woman come on and tell a story about the time she did meth and then found out that there's still meth in your urine that doesn't metabolize the first time you do the meth. So she would drink her urine to get a second high.
God.
Great story.
That's a great story. But because of the context of the show and the way I think people think, and it's a brilliant concept because if I'm going to be on it, this is my chance to just say this and get it out there. And a lot of times it's a part of their acts to begin with, but a lot of times you feel like, hey, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to tell this story in public.
Yeah, and I think that's the beautiful thing about that show. You know, I told a long, drawn-out story about how when I used to work at Golden Corral, there was a guy that it was a customer I was really nice to who ultimately never spoke to me, never tipped me, nothing. I just always gave him good service. It's just one of those silent moments. Fast forward 2 years later, I get arrested. I'm in jail, and the night I'm in jail, a guy tries to beat my ass, and the same guy from Golden Corral is in the jail and goes, nah, he's cool.
Really?
Ah! Yeah.
I was reading an interview with you, New York Times. This is when you're working in a post office.
Yeah, so I was a mail sorter in the campus post office.
Right.
And no one believes me when I say this, and please vouch for me on this.
Yeah, no, I read this.
In 1997, when you got a credit card mailed to you, it was already activated in the envelope. No one believes me when I say that. I'm like, all this, a sticker on the front and call and put in your last four of your stuff. No.
And you could always tell it was a credit card.
Yes.
You could always tell.
If it was Wilmington, Delaware or Charlotte, North Carolina, baby, I'm taking that thing. And so, I got arrested. That actually was what got me into stand-up is because I got depressed and thought I was going to prison, ended up getting probation, been doing comedy ever since. I was 19.
And I heard that you, in the article, not to go off on a bit of a tangent, but I thought it was fascinating. So you're going to do these comedy shows and you're thinking, I'm going to jail. I'm gonna go to. They're gonna put me away.
I got arrested in November. My sentencing was in June. My own lawyer said, and I quote, "Tie up any loose affairs that you have." Court appointed. Because any real lawyer is like, we're going to fight this, and you've got a chance. And I, God is my witness, Roy. I'm not going to let them railroad you.
Tie up any loose ends.
Court appointed was like, hey, man, look, just, you know, do what you need to do. Get rid of your clothes.
So when you hear you're not going to go to jail. They're gonna let you off, you know, on the charges. It must have been... That's like winning the lottery, right?
Yeah, 100% it was.
And it just turned it around.
And it's weird how life works out, because for those 6 months leading up to sentencing, I was also suspended from school. Yeah. So all I had was time on my hand to go do comedy. So essentially, the worst moment in my life became a one-year internship for stand-up comedy.
It's a good lesson.
And by the time I got back in school, I already had the infrastructure set up to make money on the road on the weekends.
Yeah.
So I was in college and doing road comedy at the same time up until graduation.
That's wild.
It's just weird how things line up.
But also, it's like something sometimes people ask us, and you have a long career in radio as well, and you know that every day you have to be up and... It's your agreement with the audience. It's not, you don't show up and you're not.
It's a relationship.
It's a relationship, and you're being counted on to be up and
coherent,
regardless what's happening in your own life.
Yeah, regardless of what's going on. That's the thing that I love about stand up is that you have an opportunity to deliver other people from whatever they're going through, if only for, you know, the hour that I'm on stage or whatever. And yep. I think that's what's always been so healing about comedy, is that now it's an opportunity for me to give to other people who might have been going through whatever their get your affairs in order moment.
Yeah, right. And there's some wild stories. Comedy legend and lore. The CNN did a series of comedy. It was actually really good. The Comedy Legends, and it was there was a whole bunch of moments where you knew these comedians were going through some heavy crap, but sometimes it coincided with some of their greatest creative moments.
And I think that's what makes This Is Not Happening so different from any other stand-up show, is that it's probably one of the few stand-up shows that's out that lets people know that they're not alone in this world and the mistakes they made, because it's a show that glorifies the lowest of lows.
Right.
Worst mistakes you've ever made and makes them funny.
But you talk about the trust between the audience and the performer, and coming into that show, you might not be aware that it's not just straight stand-up comedy. You have to allow the story to breathe.
Correct.
And the storyteller to get into, like you mentioned, the length of all of it. So that show requires a little more patience, I think, than just watching a stand-up special on Netflix, which, of course, in and of itself, it can also be entertaining.
Yeah.
But they're different. And in this day and age, you can go to a show like that knowing what you're getting, knowing what the content is that is being presented to you.
Yeah, and it's definitely, and I have to give, and I have to tip the hat to my man Ari Shaffir, who's the original creator of that show.
Yeah.
And that's what Ari curated in Los Angeles. Before this was ever on television, Ari curated a place where comedians could tell longer stories and do things that were outside of the box.
It looks like it's a bar.
Traditional.
It looks like
it's a strip club.
It's a strip club?
Yeah, because there's a center stage.
Yeah, it's a Cheetah Strip Club in Los Angeles. That's a real functioning strip club.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, if I'm not mistaken, the strippers are paid for not being able to perform.
Who cleans off the pole?
I don't know, but ask Howie Mandel wouldn't touch it. Watch his episode. No one told him it was a strip club.
Oh, my God.
Because they knew he wouldn't have come and done this show. Howie Mandel shows up in, like, basically, like, the mic, the hand-to-hand mic transfer. I'm like, all right, I will put the mic in the stand. I will stand over here while you get the microphone. Okay, I will step around you without brushing into you. He was, his first 5 minutes on stage is about the fingerprints on the stripper pole.
So Ari Shaffir, he's become one of my favorite stand-ups now. And what I like about him is he is fearless. He is fearless of what people are going to say about him.
He's getting his ass kicked.
He's fearless about, boycotting. And if you want to see how fearless he is, follow his Twitter when a celebrity dies. Because he does not hold back at all.
Who was the one that died like 2 weeks ago?
I mean, he says like rotten hell, you know what I mean?
Jeez.
And he's just trying to be funny and provocative.
But it's back with facts. He's not just being crass.
Okay.
It's, we're going to herald this person, but let me tell you a little something you may not have known about this son of a
That's his thing.
Yeah, Ari is definitely, he was the perfect person to create what this show is right now. And what I've learned about myself
right.
is that I have not lived a life nearly as insane as Ari. When they asked me to host, the first thing I thought was, oh, my God, I got to go do shrooms for a year.
to be in that story. Yeah, to be in that story. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because you have that, but yet you juggle. I was reading your Twitter stuff, and you are – how serious is your effort to get a Waffle House in Manhattan?
I really want a Waffle House in Manhattan. I really do.
Are you addicted?
I struggle to find good Southern-style breakfast in New York City.
Right.
And they go, it's a diner. They go, it's a diner. Show me a good diner with cheese grits. Doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
And I know I'm north of Richmond, Virginia, so you're right. not supposed to be able to get cheese grits this far north. But
right.
you know what? A man can dream.
Have you had any takers? You're looking for investors, yeah?
There's no way selling a $6 plate of breakfast you would make profit to me.
No, it's true. It's true.
It wouldn't happen. And somebody suggested that we have a Waffle House truck, and that's only people who've never been to Waffle House, because you can't recreate the feeling of a Waffle House on the curb with a damn truck. While we're on the topic, can we ask food truck operators to have some chairs? Is that asking too much?
Just a couple of folding chairs?
You got the space?
Yeah.
Hang them out on the side of the truck. Like, just hang some folding
chairs. That's actually a great idea. Yo, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
We try to act like these food trucks are so inventive and amazing, and it's artisanal food. I need a chair. Okay? Sitting on a fire hydrant, half my ass cheek is numb. Yeah. Trying to eat a $30 taco.
And you're doing this. You got the drink in the one hand and the plate in the other.
Yeah.
You can't, where's the fork go?
It's the most delicious, inconvenient food.
No, and here in Philadelphia, we have some wonderful, world-class food trucks, but I've never seen a chair set up like you're talking about.
The thing I love about Philly, though, is that you get your food and y'all just keep walking. Y'all stay in motion. Like, this isn't a sit-still town. No, something could happen. You got to keep moving.
I wanted to ask Roy, because we saw a tweet from you earlier this morning about anybody who's seen the movie Us, not to spoil anything online. 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Compare it, if you will, to how great Get Out was.
It still speaks to social issues, but it's not about race.
Okay. Yeah.
Socially?
Get Out was 100% speaking to race.
Right.
Us speaks about society.
Okay.
100%. Like, it's literally probably one of the best horror movies I've seen that has a narrative about the world in which we live.
And
it's interesting because I can't think of many horror movies other than maybe the first Saw that speaks to who we are as a people, you know, and that part of it.
Really good horror will do that. Really good horror will have you make decisions. There's a great movie called It Follows.
I couldn't watch it. It scared me too much. Slender Man.
Right, but it makes you make decisions. You say you're not a big horror movie fan to begin with, right?
Yeah, I'm just a coward.
Yeah.
Is what it boils down to. I can watch horror at the crib, but I can't go in the theater and watch stuff. But Us definitely has that element of pursuit, and there's the killer, and run.
Yeah, yeah.
And run around the corner.
The stuff you
and the
need.
Killers, yeah,
yeah.
It's that, but there's still layers underneath it.
All right, am I covering? Because I like horror movies, but I kind of have to watch them through my fingers. You know, I cover my eyes. Is it that kind, or?
There's a few parts where you want to cover your eyes. And I covered my eyes. Yeah. I'm a thug. I'm 40. I don't care. I'll say it.
We didn't have, because, you know, Jordan Peele was in here, and he, you know, they were promoting Keanu, I think it was at the time. And he was, you know, we started talking about horror movies. I'm like, this guy really knows his horror stuff. Mm-hmm. But man, didn't have any idea he had those kind of chops when it comes to, you know, that kind of script writing and that kind of directing capability.
Tension building.
It's like Usual Suspects in the sense that it's a film where you'll go back and watch it the second time and realize that everything you needed to know was right there.
Okay. I love that.
The whole time. You just never saw it.
Can I take my kids? Is there any sex or nudity in it?
There is no sex. There is no nudity.
Okay.
Trying to think. No, there wasn't any, because I went with my current girlfriend and always get weird when there's a breast on screen.
So, is there? Do you get weird?
Because I don't, you know, it is nothing she's done. This is just me in my head from dating horrible people before this. Like, you guys don't get like that when there's like a sex scene on TV and you're watching it with your girl. You have to act like, well, that's not cool. I don't. I just like, I'd look down at my popcorn.
You know what I hate, Roy, when they start when they start addressing an issue that is similar to a fight you've had. You know, it's like, you know, something comes up that is just slightly nuanced enough to be close to something you and your wife, in our case, our wives or your girlfriend that you've fought about before. You're like,
That's why I stopped watching those therapy shows. You ever see the Yana Fix My Life on Oprah Winfrey's network?
I've heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Yana Vincent is an author and, like, you know, self-helping kind of therapist person. She just basically shows up at black people's houses for an hour and just be like, you got to fix it. This is what's wrong with you and the problem. And she's like talking to some dude and just chastising him about something. And when she says that, you need to understand that what she's really saying is that she loves you and she wishes you would. And then I look at my girl. She's like staring me down from across the
living room. That's what I hate. I hate that, right?
I'm like, we can't watch this. We got to watch basketball.
Speaking of which, are you a fan? Are you March Madness going on now?
No bracket this year.
Really?
And I've never felt more free. I encourage you all once a year, take a break from all of the fantasy sports stuff. Just
was it
take a break.
Getting too much for you?
It was too intense in the office. It was too intense.
Really?
Plus, I won fantasy football this year at work.
The Daily Show office?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Daily Show office has a legit, like the fact that we never talk about sports on that damn show.
They know their stuff?
Everybody knows sports in that building.
See, I'll never stop fantasy football. I just love it too much. I'm in two leagues, and I'm cool with that, and I'll do the daily fantasy as well. I haven't done a bracket in years, and I think I prefer it that way.
Did we talk last time? I think we talked last time about playing Beat the Streak for baseball, which is, there's an app where if you
can, I
don't know what the pot is. I think it's $1 million. But if you can pick one major league player every day for 56 days who gets a base hit, you get $1 million.
And that to the DiMaggio streak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an app. And I don't think anybody in the country has gotten past 30. Like,
really?
It sounds easy. Extremely difficult.
Were you addicted?
Oh, yeah, and I'm back this year.
I'm starting
like, that one I'm going to do. The brackets, I just didn't pay enough attention to college ball this year.
Right.
So then I just ended up picking on past reputations.
What's the most you've won playing?
I'd say in the year, I do a cumulative count over the course of a whole year. One year I was up 1,500 gambling on sports, and that's between FanDuel and playing a little bit in Vegas and stuff like that. And then I've been down as much as like 400, but the floor's generally $400.
Okay.
Once I'm down 400 for the year, I'm done.
You tap out.
Lotto, scratch off, strippers, like everything. It's 400.
400 is the base.
That's the floor.
All right.
Do you have
an
Excel sheet or something like that? How do you keep track?
I'm like a beautiful mind. It's all up here.
A beautiful bracket.
Two lap dances. I lost 3 scratch offs. I had a big floor.
It's great. Yeah. So it's here. It's just a huge, you know, obviously Philadelphia has so much going on, and there've been some shakeups with the coaching, but otherwise it's,
I like when Philadelphia has hope.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's a better comedy show.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the trophy. Sidebar, unrelated. Is the Eagles fan who ate the horse turd, is he still alive?
Yes. Still alive.
How is he doing? Have we checked on this gentleman?
He's the mayor of the city now, I think. I'm fairly certain we elected him mayor.
Yeah.
He works the door at Punchline.
You know, though, that, Roy, that's so indicative of what the way things, I mean, all that was going on, and everybody that made national news,
of course,
the dude eating the horse turd.
And to the rest of the country, everybody in Philadelphia
is
eats
a horse turd eating.
Oh, I'm from Alabama. Now you know how it feels. You're dating your cousin? How's that going?
But is it because people are in a slightly better mood when they come to the comedy show?
I think the important thing with sports is it parallels to life, is that you want to have a little bit of hope. And the sports team can give you a little bit of hope, then you carry that positivity over to everything else that's going on in your world. And you don't have to win, but just hope.
Yeah. You're right.
Embiid and the boys make you feel good about yourself.
It's a good story. The Flyers, I mean, it's, you know, it's eking along.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, but you got Gritty. Looks like a pub, weird crack addict, Sesame Street.
Yep. Yeah. Gritty.
Like, if if Snuffleupagus did meth, I think it'd be Gritty to some degree.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I do think Gritty, who would win the fight, Gritty or the Philly Fanatic?
Philly Fanatic would win. He's older.
He's scrappy.
He knows more.
Yeah, he's got old man strength.
He's got a little size on him.
Old man strength. He's got the Jack Palance grapple.
The Jack Palance grapple. I love that. Yeah, yeah. I think that's the case. But Gritty, man, talk about a mascot that just hit.
Yep. Well, not at first. Everybody hated him that first day. Yeah.
And then do y'all want Jackson back from Tampa Bay?
Sure.
He said he wants to come back and play for the Eagles.
He's playing.
Again.
He's playing.
Oh, it's official.
Yeah, he's official. He's signed.
Oh, well, then good.
I'm all for
it. Y'all see what I mean?
There's hope. And then the Phils look real good. And obviously, we made a major.
Congrats on that.
Yeah. We were just down in Clearwater for that, and it was pretty wild.
Yeah, I'm glad he stayed in the East. I'm a Cubs fan. We already got Puig and Cincinnati. We're going to have to face him more than we need to.
Right.
And our pitching is a little suspect this year. Also, in football, I'm a Dolphins fan, so I just haven't had hope.
They don't even have a quarterback, man.
Yeah.
Like, they got rid of their starting quarterback is in Tennessee now.
Yeah, and then we got Fitzpatrick from Tampa Bay because, you know, hey, you were good that one time a while back. You want some money?
In the same division as the Patriots. Like, how do you have any hope ever?
Why even play? Just wait till Tom Brady retires.
Right?
Just take sabbatical. Our team will be rebuilding for a while. We won't be having any games.
What do you think of this Robert Kraft thing with the, here you got this guy.
I want to see the tape.
Don't you?
Rub and tug.
Give us the tape. Mm-hmm. Everybody else gets caught up in prostitution stings, and if you want to go find that tape, you can find that tape.
Yeah.
And it's on Cops. I want it. Put it out. I want Gail King to give you that tape.
Yes. To R. Kelly his ass.
Because everybody's like, oh, well, technically if you post that, it's porn. No, it's not. It's a man laying on the table and there's a towel over him. The towel's just going up and down.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Could be anything. Could be a fart. He's flapping.
Just an old guy, 77-year-old fart.
Yeah, I do think that... It's funny. He's not going to go to jail. Everybody's acting like this means the Patriots are going to go 4-12.
Yeah. I want the security footage, though, of the parking lot when the Bentley pulls into the strip mall where apparently this place is located. Because he went there in a Bentley.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't people at a Robert Kraft level have people who are supposed to say, you stay here, we'll go get you somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can have everything delivered to your home right now.
Literally.
I can pull out this phone right now and I can, to this radio station, I can have a quart of motor oil.
And a car.
Griddle.
And a big griddle.
And a mattress in a bag.
Yeah.
They will literally mail a mattress to your house.
Yeah.
In a bag that you open like a vacuum sealed sausage.
Right.
And you can get all that by lunch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would imagine that some towel jerking probably get delivered.
Yeah. Especially at that level.
Don't you? I feel like rich people have like all these secret doors and secret apps. Like, I'm not quite there yet when it comes to the super secret stuff. I got access to like some weird version of Facebook that's for people that are handling their brands, and we're going to give you, and it's super secret. You can't find it online. They
really?
Send you a link for it, and they go, you go to this link, and then this guy will send you the code, and with the code, then you can get the super, super Facebook. And I have super, super. So I would imagine when you get to Robert Kraft money, I don't even have that. I have one bedroom in New York money. With a woman and a 3-year-old money. And all I get is... So you imagine if you were an owner with 6 Super Bowl rings. There's got to be an app that's just
for Robert Kraft. Yeah. Yeah.
Robert, welcome to the club. Elaine's going to send you the link.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's the towel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if that
Here's
doesn't
your motor
exist,
oil.
I think I've just given your listeners their new goal.
Right. You got Absolutely. The blue check next to your name on Twitter.
Yeah. We're going to email the people at Twitter and see about the blue check.
Yeah.
And then, blue check gets you nothing but a reply from businesses when you bitch about stuff.
That's true.
Just so you know, that's all the blue check is worth.
Yep. I believe it.
When I tweet an airline about my middle seat doesn't work, I get
you
miles.
Get a reaction.
I get a reply.
All those to it. Well, check out Roy on Twitter. Follow him on his account. It's at Roy Wood Jr. JR, I should say, instead of spelling out the word junior. But Roy's going to be at Punchline. He got shows tonight and tomorrow, 7:30, 9:45.
Awesome.
To get those tickets, just check out punchlinephilly.com. Man, it's great to have you back in town. Thanks
it's
for coming
always
by
a pleasure. And I hope to see everybody tonight, and then I hope to see you tomorrow with the person. You're cheating on the person that came to the time. Friday night show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Makes total sense.
Yep.
That's awesome. What it's all about.
Roy Wood Jr., everybody. Yeah. Thanks, Roy. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Get the whole Preston and Steve show or the Bizarre Files podcast at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.